Reporting for Pacifica Radio.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and you are tuned into WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Welcome to Africa Now. Today's show features African influence in Colombian music. Africa Now is next. Welcome to Shaw Muiza Muntali. The music in the background is Rumba Chanta by Grupo Bahia. Today, Jason Landero and the Band of Colombia joined the show to discuss African and indigenous peoples' influence in particular and other cultures' influence in general on Colombian music in the context of Latin American Heritage Month. The conversation also explores the collaboration and exchange of knowledge between the Colombian musicians and go-go artists of Washington, D.C. Also joining the show is Isaias Guerrero of Puerto de Pueblo, who's also serving as the translator. Here's the conversation with Jason Landero and the band on African influence in Colombian music. And that is Jason Landero and the band, straight from Colombia. Today we're looking at the African influence in Colombian music and also other influence, particularly indigenous influence in Colombian music, as we're looking at the Latin American Heritage Month, which began on September 15th, which ends on October 15th. So we're having this special presentation of what is in Colombia in terms of the music, particularly the African heritage in the music. And we're delighted to have Jason Landero and the band, who are here in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. They've been here for a few days now. So I wanted to first start talking about if you could briefly tell us who you are, if you can just introduce yourselves. I'm here with the members of the group, and there's seven of them that are here. But before we get into the conversation, if each one of them could just give us their names and, yeah.
Sí, entonces, pues si él quiere que la banda se presente, entonces si nada más, pues cada uno puede decir su nombre y de pronto qué toca y ya.
Mi nombre es Javier Landero, toco la guacharaca.
My name is Javier Landero and he plays the güiro, or in Colombia we call it guacharaca.
Bueno, mi nombre es Heiber José Rodríguez Villalba, el tigre de la gaita. Soy el gaitero de la agrupación de Landero Vive.
His name is Heiber, or el tigre of the gaita, and he plays the gaita or flute.
Mi nombre es Jason Landero, interpreto el acordeón y voz principal en la agrupación.
My name is Jason Landero and I play the accordion and the main voice in the group.
Andrés Ramírez y toco la percusión.
Andrés Ramírez and I play the percussion.
Mi nombre es Daniel José Movilla, soy percusionista.
My name is Daniel José and I am also percussionist.
Oh, thank you very much I don't think I can remember everybody's name, so we'll go from there. But also, our interpreter is...
Isaías Guerrero, and I'm also with Poder del Pueblo, the organization that brought the group to D.C.
Thank you very much. Isaías Guerrero, he's our interpreter, and with Poder del Pueblo, who brought the group here in Washington, D.C., and... I wanted to first start to talk about who you are as a group briefly, and what part of Colombia you're coming from.
Entonces, si pueden empezar un poquito aprendiendo del grupo, pues primero si nos cuentan de dónde son.
Bueno, nuestra agrupación viene del Caribe colombiano. Más específicamente, Montes de María, San Jacinto, Bolívar.
So, our group is from the Caribbean of Colombia, from a mountainous area called Montes de María, and the town is called San Jacinto. Mm.
So, this is on the Caribbean coast, eh?
Este es en la costa Caribe.
Sí, es, nuestra música representa lo que es la esencia del Caribe colombiano.
Yes, our music represents the essence of the Colombian Caribbean.
And this, when you said the, what is the difference in the music of the Caribbean coast of Colombia, the makeup of that music? I know there's the African influence there as well, but if you could expand on that.
Si puedes expandir un poquito en la influencia africana de la música del Caribe.
La música del Caribe tiene mucha influencia africana, ya que la ciudad de Cartagena fue una de las principales ciudades de la costa donde llegaron muchos esclavos africanos en la época de la conquista.
So, our music has a lot of African influence because we're very close to Cartagena, which is one of the main ports where enslaved peoples were brought in to America, really.
Y fue ahí donde se dio los primeros, la más fuerte resistencia de libertad en este territorio del Caribe colombiano.
That's where the biggest manifestations of resistance started to sprout in the Colombian Caribbean.
Existe un lugar llamado San Basilio de Palenque, el cual la historia nos muestra que es el primer pueblo libre de América.
There's a place near us called San Basilio de Palenque, which is the first free town in the Americas.
Y desde Palenque se extendieron también muchos otros asentamientos, hasta en los Montes de María, donde tenemos unos palenques como Paraíso y Guaduas.
So in Palenque, there were other regions and areas that also became free towns, some that are similar to ours, like Paraíso and Guaduas.
Estos fueron los que generaron la influencia africana en nuestra música.
So these towns are the ones that generated the African influence in our music.
Con los años, se presenta la mezcla africana e indígena, dando origen a una música muy especial del Caribe colombiano, que es la cumbia.
So with the years, African and indigenous music started mixing, and that's where cumbia came from.
And of course, a lot of people know about cumbia is like is that the most popular Colombian music?
La pregunta es si la cumbia es el estilo tradicional más popular de Colombia.
La cumbia es la música tradicional que representa a Colombia, pero tenemos muchos otros estilos a lo largo del país, diferentes en el interior o centro del país, pero el Caribe colombiano lo representa la cumbia.
Cumbia is definitely a traditional music that represents Colombia, but there's other styles that are all across the country. You can find specific styles in the mountains, in the south, but definitely cumbia is the style that represents
the Colombian Caribbean.
Yeah, and that's the one that I guess for us who know a little bit of Colombia, we hear more of that in the popular culture, and I guess people like what's her name, Shakira, who are from Colombia, and others who play similar style of that.
Para algunos de nosotros que conocemos un poquito de Colombia, la cumbia sí es definitivamente como algo que entendemos, y pues también hay otras figuras como Shakira que tocan un tipo de música que pues también lo conocemos de acá en los Estados Unidos.
La cumbia es la representación. Cuando hablamos de Colombia, hablamos de cumbia en la música más tradicional y la raíz de nuestro pueblo. Y lo bonito es que se reconoce su nacimiento y ha influenciado a la unión de los países latinoamericanos.
So when we speak about cumbia, cumbia highlights really the traditional, the roots of our peoples. And the beauty of cumbia is that it has united all Latin American countries.
And again, that's Jason and Lorando and the band that we're talking to today about particularly the African influence of Colombian music, as we're looking at Latin American Heritage Month, which started on September 15, ends in October 15. And also the interpreter is Isaias Guerrero of Pueblo y Pueblo, who brought the band here to the U.S. And as you're talking about the cumbia, but what are the other music in the in Colombia that we may not know about? Particularly, I know there's music on the Pacific Coast, which also has also a lot of some African influence as well, indigenous influence as well. Yeah, but other types of music that we should know about.
Otro tipo de música colombiana es que tiene una influencia africana está en el Pacífico, pero pregunta qué otros estilos en Colombia tienen también esa raíz africana.
En el Caribe colombiano existen varios ritmos que tienen influencia africana y que son como lo más raizal, porque fue ahí donde estaban los primeros africanos. Todo entra por el Caribe, luego se extiende al centro del país. Y tenemos bullerengue, que es otro ritmo musical que se toca con tambores y cantadoras mujeres.
So, as we shared, in the Caribbean, there are many styles that exist apart from cumbia, because, as we said earlier, Africans that were enslaved were brought in. And so one of them, for example, is called bullerengue, that is more traditional, and it's all drums, and it's actually only sung by women. And so it has that same strong root.
Así como otros ritmos también como el son de negro.
We have other style that is called son de negro.
Otras influencias del mismo palenque como los estetos, que es una música que ya mezcla lo africano, pero también con influencia más latinas y cubanas, creando grupos importantes como Sexteto Tabalá.
We have also the sextets, and these are very popular as well, and they mix a lot of the African tradition of sounds, and they mix it with Afro-Cuban sounds as well. One of them that is the most important is Sexteto Tabalá.
La cumbia en acordeón es lo que nosotros representamos y lo que escucharon al inicio todos los oyentes. También tenemos la influencia más antigua, que es la representación indígena en las gaitas, haciendo lo que es la música de gaita.
So what we just played earlier when we started the show is cumbia, but played with accordion. Now, we also add the indigenous component because we have gaita, and that's basically what you heard and what we bring that is unique.
Ahí tenemos una institución o agrupación representativa que se llama Los Gaiteros de San Jacinto, y a la cual mi abuelo Andrés Landero, que fue el creador de la cumbia en acordeón, también hizo parte de esta institución.
So there's one of the most iconic groups called Los Gaiteros de San Jacinto, which his grandfather was part of, and it's one of the most iconic groups. And his grandfather is the one that created the cumbia played with accordion.
Your grandfather. And refresh us your name again.
Que si le puedes recordar el nombre de tu abuelo.
Bueno, mi abuelo se llama Andrés Landero y fue un campesino que creó a través de los sonidos de la gaita y de la influencia africana de los tambores lo que hoy conocemos como cumbia en acordeón, que fue lo que escuchamos al inicio. Y hoy nos acompaña aquí su hijo Javier Landero, que también grabó más del 50% de su obra musical.
So, my grandfather's name, or his grandfather's name, is Andrés Landero. He was a peasant, and he was influenced by the African and indigenous sounds and translated the sounds into the accordion and created the cumbia with accordion. And so his son is right here with us, which is Javier Landero, which is the person that accompanied him and was able to record over 50% of his music. So was really a person that accompanied him throughout his life.
I wonder if Javier Landero can come and also give us some, share your experiences, how you got involved in the music, apart from just being the grandson of the inventor of the accordion. Is that right? The inventor of the accordion cumbia. But if you can talk to us about that influence and the way you got involved with.
Que si nos puedes hablar un poquito de cómo te involucraste en la cumbia y pues cómo esa influencia de la cumbia con acordeón se desarrolló.
La influencia viene por herencia musical de mi bisabuelo, mi abuelo y mi padre Andrés Landero, ya que mi bisabuelo también fue gaitero y mi abuelo por parte de papá también perteneció a los gaiteros. Andrés Landero llega a influenciar el acordeón, lo transforma en cumbia, es donde se transforma él, que inventa la cumbia en acordeón, y ya de allí, por mirando una donde mi papá hacía presentaciones con los juglares, muy amigo de él, que llegaba a nuestra casa, empezó a influenciarme la música, ya que yo aprendí a tocar instrumento, la guacharaca.
So, part of the musical heritage that we bring, you know, what Javier Landero saw was his great-grandfather, his grandfather, all being gaiteros. And gaiteros is those that play the gaita or the flute. And so, they're basically part of a dynasty or part of a griot family of musicians. And so when Andrés Landero, his father, by being influenced by all these rhythms, he decided to put the melodies of the gaitas in accordion. And so that's how it was initiated, this style. And so then Javier shares how he saw his father play with some of the greatest musicians in Colombia, and that's how he started picking up the instrument and understanding the style and how to play it.
A la edad de 8 años aprendo a tocar el instrumento, y cuando ya tengo la edad de 14 años integro la agrupación de mi papá Andrés Landero.
So at 8 years old he learns how to play the guacharaca or the güiro, and basically, when he was 14 years old, he started playing professionally with his father in his band. And so that's when he just started as a musician.
Desde ese momento empiezo a hacer mis grabaciones con mi padre y llevando la tradición, la herencia musical actualmente por el mundo con mi sobrino Jason Landero.
So he started to record with his father many albums, and now he takes the tradition of accordion cumbia with Jason Landero, the grandfather of Andrés Landero, all across the world.
And I wanted to also bring in the other members of the band as well, to get their story of how they got into the band and the influences of to my right, at the immediate right, that's Andrés. I wonder if Andrés can also share your story of the influences that brought you into this collaboration.
Es nuestro compa mexicano con alma cumbiambera.
So he's our Mexican brother with cumbia soul. So he's from Mexico.
Hola, yo soy Andrés, soy el percusionista. Y básicamente, cuando me pregunta, ya esta pregunta me la habían hecho antes en otras entrevistas, que cómo es que yo termino en un grupo colombiano, ¿no? Pero en realidad, mi abuela por parte de mi madre era mulata, era mitad africana, mitad indígena. Entonces yo llevo ya en la sangre, crecí escuchando cumbia. Desde niño en la casa siempre sonaba la cumbia, ¿no? Los domingos, que eran los días de limpiar la casa, era cumbia todo el día, ¿no? Entonces, en realidad crecí tocando cumbia. Cuando empecé yo a tocar percusión, sin darme cuenta, ya tocaba cumbia. Fue lo primero que empecé a tocar el estilo, y he vivido tocando la música desde los 14 años. Terminé tocando con Landero porque cuando él vino a Estados Unidos, yo estaba viviendo en Albuquerque y necesitaba una banda, y un amigo me incorporó a la agrupación, que fue la banda que lo acompañó cuando estuvo acá la primera vez, o una de las primeras veces, y terminé quedándome, trabajando con él. Pues.
So, my name is Andrés, and I'm a percussionist. And so a lot of people ask me, like, how does somebody from Mexico end up playing in a Colombian group? So it all starts with my grandmother, who was half African and half indigenous in Mexico. And every Sunday, like, I grew up listening to cumbia. Always on Sundays when you're cleaning, that's what you hear. And so really it was, like, always around me. And I started playing cumbia when I was 14 years old. And so also that's just been part of my life. And so then the way in which Jason and I connected was, I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where I live, and I was looking for a band. A friend of mine recruited me, and we played with Jason Landero in the same concert. And that's how we met. And he recruited me to be part of his band, and that's how we're here.
Great story. And then I think we have somebody else on the congas. If he can introduce himself as well, give us the background of how he got involved with Jason Landero and the band.
Si puedes hablar de cómo te involucraste con la música y con la banda.
La cumbia es un ritmo que corre por las venas. Mi papá es músico, hizo parte de la agrupación del maestro Andrés Landero por varios años. Y él fue quien me incentivó, quien me guió a conocer la música. Y a la edad de 9 años comencé en un proyecto llamada Los Nietos de Andrés Landero.
So, the cumbia is a rhythm that is in my veins. Thanks to my dad, my father,
Jose Movilla,
he was the one that taught me how to play. Jose Movilla, my father, was in the band with Andrés Landero for years, and so he was the one that guided me. And at 9 years old, I played at a band called the Grand the grandsons of Landero. So that's how I started.
And then we have one more member who is kind of hiding over there, but if we can if we can bring him to the mic as well, if he can just share with us his experience and how he was influenced, how he got into the band as well, before we get into the other areas of the culture.
Ah, bueno, sí, entonces que si te puedes presentar y decir un poquito de cómo te involucraste con la música y con la banda de Jason Atri.
Bueno, mi nombre es Heiber José Rodríguez Villalba, de un pueblecito cerquita de San Jacinto, músico de edad de 8 años y medio. Empecé a conocer a los grandes maestros, los gaiteros de San Jacinto, que fue por donde inicié y donde me hice como músico, y después estuve en muchas ocasiones con Jason Landero cuando era niño. Tuve la dicha de hacer partícipe de conciertos cuando se hacían los conciertos infantiles en San Juan. Tuve la oportunidad de interpretar con él muchas cumbias, y el destino nuevamente nos volvió a unir como grupo. Y como personalidad, pues hoy el Team Landero, pues estamos por todo el mundo dando la cumbia, incorporar como lo que hizo su abuelo de Jason Landero, el maestro Andrés Landero, de hacer la gaita, la cumbia en acordeón. Hoy ese matrimonio lo vuelve a hacer Jason Landero, enlazando lo que es la cumbia en la gaita y la enlaza con el acordeón, lo que hizo su abuelo. Es lo que está dando pues a conocer el mundo de la cumbia, y lo que vendrá muchas cosas para nosotros como agrupación.
So my name is Heiber José Rodríguez. I play the gaita. I am from a small town called San Juan, very close to San Jacinto, and I have been playing since I was 8.5 years old. I started playing with Los Gaiteros de San Jacinto, and that's where my career as a musician started. But since I was a kid, Jason and I would have common concerts. Like whenever they would have youth concerts, I played in a couple of those with Jason. So from very little, we've been together playing music. And now destiny has brought us together again to bring cumbia all over the world, continuing his grandfather's legacy of doing cumbia where accordion and gaita are mixed. We will continue bringing this legacy, and we're sure that more paths are going to open up for us.
Thank you very much. And as we were talking about the where you're based, this is in the Caribbean coast. And when I've talked about issues concerning Colombia throughout the past few years, we've been looking at how the conflict has also disproportionately negatively affected people of the indigenous communities and the Afro-descendant population. I wanted to find out how the conflict in Colombia has affected the music in your area, the impact it's had on your music producing.
La cumbia siempre ha sido resiliencia y resistencia desde los inicios, desde hace muchísimos años.
Cumbia has been resistance and resilience since its beginning, for hundreds of years.
Siempre ha sido un canto de libertad desde que nació pura en las montañas, en los palenques, y fueron los campesinos los que noche tras noche se reunían a hacer esa fuerza de libertad en contra de los terratenientes.
So, since its beginning, it's been a song of freedom. It was born in the palenques by the peasants who would come together in their free time to celebrate their lives and sing for freedom.
Durante muchos años siempre ha sido la fuerza del pueblo. Y por más de 50 o 60 años donde Colombia ha venido sufriendo el conflicto armado y sobre todo esta región del país de los Montes de María que ha sido muy afectada, la cumbia siguió siendo la fuerza de esperanza, de amor, de libertad, con la que todos nosotros nos hemos mantenido firmes.
So for many years, cumbia has just like been the strength and the power of our people. And in these 60 years of conflict, our area of the Montes de María, this mountainous region where the band is from, has been incredibly impacted by the armed conflict. But cumbia has been the source of hope, love, and freedom for many of us.
Las letras de nuestras canciones siempre le han cantado en sus inicios a la naturaleza, a la belleza, a los amigos, pero también muchas han sido esa fuerza de resiliencia que tenemos como pueblo.
The lyrics of our songs reflect nature, beauty, friends, but also there's lyrics that reflect the resiliency of our people.
Canciones como Cuando lo negro sea bello es una muestra de que nuestra cumbia ha sido la fuerza de resiliencia. Nuestra agrupación, todos los que estamos aquí, nacimos en una época donde el conflicto armado se encontraba en más auge y somos el resultado y la prueba de que la música es lo que nos ha mantenido unidos.
So there's a song called When Black Becomes Beautiful Again. And that song actually reflects this example of resiliency, that even though we've all been victims of the armed conflict and we've been affected somehow, we continue finding in music the refuge that has allowed us to be together and to continue, carry on.
You're listening to a portion of a conversation with Jason Landero and the Band of Colombia, who are discussing African and indigenous peoples' influence on Colombian music and collaboration between African peoples in the context of Latin American Heritage Month. The translator is Isaias Guerrero of Puerto del Pueblo. The music in the background is Condandrum by Kasiva Motua. You're listening to Africa Now on WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C., your jazz and justice station. Now back to the conversation.
As you mentioned, Refuge, when I was talking to Isaias before our conversation, he had mentioned that even when there was a conflict, they still had the festivals, the musical festivals in these areas where the conflict is taking place. If you could explain to us how that was possible to do that, even in the height of the conflict.
Sí, entonces que cuando hablábamos ayer, yo le comentaba un poco de cómo los festivales continuaban. Entonces la pregunta que él tenía es, aún en los momentos más difíciles del conflicto armado, ¿cómo es que continuaban estos festivales de gaita, de cumbia, de no para que hacían posible pues que esta tradición siguiera?
La música nunca murió. Y nos acostumbramos a las formas, a los horarios, a poder mantener viva la tradición de que siguiera pasando así de padres y abuelos a las nuevas generaciones con las limitaciones que existían. Pero es tan fuerte el poder de nuestra cumbia y de nuestra música que año tras año nos seguíamos reuniendo como fuerza de resiliencia y diciéndole al mundo, aquí estamos, aunque estuviéramos pasando por un conflicto armado fuerte.
So music never died, and what the conflict did was it created specific schedules, specific ways of living that we had to navigate. And even as we navigated those difficult norms that were imposed on us, we still made sure that our traditions continued and that we were able to continue that to our children. And so the festivals were those spaces where we created that opportunity to continue the tradition regardless of what was going on around us.
La música para nosotros fue la esperanza. Y en medio de todos estos conflictos siempre se hablaba de los Montes de María y de San Jacinto como siempre un territorio que estaba en guerra, en conflicto, y de lo cual se pudo hablar a nivel nacional e internacional. La cara buena de nuestro territorio siempre fue la música, tanto así que en medio de ese conflicto fuimos merecedores de galardones como Grammy Latinos, premios importantes en las academias musicales, y se convirtió nuestra música no solo en la buena cara de los Montes de María, sino de Colombia entera. Cuando hablábamos de la cumbia y de Colombia, podríamos decir de esa parte buena de lo que teníamos los colombianos en medio de toda esa situación.
Music for us was hope. So even though the conflict affected Montes de María, and that's what the national conversation was talking about, music emerged as the face of hope in the territory. And regardless of what was going on during the time, we still were able to earn Latin Grammy Awards and other important awards in the music industry. And so we became the face of hope and beauty amongst what was happening in the conflict.
And I want to do to kind of illustrate to us some of the, well, we have the African influence, particularly because as we're focusing on today, but also the indigenous influence in the instruments that you're playing. If you could, unfortunately, we're on radio, so we can't show it to us, but you can play the instrument and say what that instrument is and the influences from that instrument, where it's coming from.
Para nosotros, la música es el espíritu del mundo.
For us, music is the spirit of the world.
Y para la cumbia, el sonido del llamador representa el corazón.
For cumbia, the sound of the llamador or the caller, it represents the heart.
Y el sonido es así.
And this is...
de un árbol llamado mata de lata.
From a tree called mata de lata
nace el instrumento que lleva el compás y se llama guacharaca.
It's the instrument that keeps the rhythm, and it's called guacharaca. Do you want me to describe the instrument?
Yes, if you can describe where the that instrument, how it looks like, and then also the cultural influence of it. This is from the indigenous African.
La guacharaca viene de una mata que se llama lata. Se corta un trozo de madera. Se le hacen unas ranuras en el cuerpo. Se se le hace una ranura del cuerpo y se le hacen dos endijas o dos rajas para que dé la sonoridad.
So the guacharaca comes from a plant or a tree called mata de lata, and you basically cut a piece of wood from it. You make a long, thin cylinder, and then you cut like a small, you do small cuts in the wood so that once you use this kind of fork looking thing, it can create that type of sound.
Para darle la sonoridad o tocarla, se fabrica con un mango o soporte de madera.
Okay. To create the other part, the fork, it basically has a handle of wood.
Con unos ganchos, sea de paraguas, y se le conoce con el nombre de trinche.
And with some, I guess, like pieces of an umbrella, you can take out and make these small, thin wires. And that connected to the wood handle is the fork, or in Colombia we call it the trinche.
Es el instrumento que reemplaza en la cumbia tocada en gaita es la sonoridad que da la maraca.
So originally in cumbia, that is in traditional cumbia, you use the maracas. But this instrument, the guacharaca, is what replaces that sound to make it into the cumbia with accordion.
Y es la que utilizamos en nuestras grabaciones y presentaciones en la cumbia tocada en acordeón.
And that's what we used in our presentations of cumbia played with accordion.
El origen, le repito, es lo que reemplaza a la maraca, ya el origen viene siendo a nivel de percusionista, pero pienso que los indígenas también utilizaron un instrumento parecido a este para también darle sonoridad con los tambores.
So, because it replaces the maracas, and it has like a indigenous root, that's where we understand that the sound was added from, and the people that brought it to the cumbia.
Me gustaría interpretar el sonido del acordeón acompañado con cada uno de los instrumentos que ya le hemos explicado.
So now I would love to have the melody of the accordion with all the instruments that we've described for you.
Y así suena la guacharaca, el llamador, la conga, la gaita y el acordeón. Esto es cumbia campesina, cumbia colombiana de los Montes de María.
This is Colombian cumbia, peasant cumbia from the Montes de María.
Thank you very much, and thank you for that spirited performance. Unfortunately, we have such a short time, and I wanted you to also talk to us about the your U.S. Tour that you're on. We're here in Washington, D.C., and talk to us about where you're going and how people received you. You're here as a part of the, Puerto de Pueblo, who are putting it together. And if you could just tell us how the tour is going and where and what you're planning in the future.
Estamos felices que la cumbia siga siendo el sentimiento que une a Latinoamérica y que hemos venido de Colombia a traer este mensaje a los hermanos latinos, mexicanos, argentinos, chilenos, peruanos, del Brasil, de Venezuela, a todos los que se encuentran en este país, recordarle de dónde vienen y lo que somos.
So we're really happy that we're able to bring a message to so many people across Latin America, from Argentina, from Bolivia, from Peru, from Ecuador, from Colombia, so that they remember their heritage and they remember where they come from.
Y estamos felices de saber que con DC nos une un sentimiento muy especial y esa influencia africana. En este año 2025 se ha dado algo muy histórico, que el tambor nos ha unido, lo que es la fuerza de resistencia de la cumbia latinoamericana con la música go-go, que es la música africana resiliente de la ciudad, de la capital de DC. Hemos comenzado a crear historia en unir estas dos raíces musicales en el primer festival Gogo Cumbia y en la primera vez que se toca esta música con un grupo llamado Spirit y nosotros, los cuales tenemos la idea de grabar estas canciones y que sea el inicio de esta unión.
So we're also really excited because we've been able to really connect, thanks to the African influence, between cumbia and go-go here in DC. We found how the power of the resiliency of both rhythms have basically captivated the city. And we were part of the first go-go cumbia festival, which happened on Sunday, September 15th, here in the nation's capital.
Así que desde Colombia les decimos que viva la cumbia, que viva África, que vivan los indígenas, que viva un sentimiento latinoamericano.
So we're ready to say power to indigenous people, power to black people. We're going to continue making this happen all across the world and Latin America.
Any closing remarks, thoughts?
Darle las gracias a grupos latinoamericanos y colombianos que están organizados acá en la ciudad de DC, en especial nuestros hermanos de El Poder del Pueblo, que han hecho posible que este encuentro se haya dado, como el Museo Gogo, y a todos los latinos y americanos que cada día vamos formando más este movimiento de la cumbia en los Estados Unidos.
So we just want to say thank you so much to all the organized groups here from Latin America, especially Poder del Pueblo, who made this collaboration happen between cumbia and go-go, as well as the Go-Go Museum. And basically a shout out to all Latinos and black people who are bridging communities together.
Bueno, invitamos a todos los oyentes a que nos sigan en nuestras redes sociales, Jason Landero, con J-E-I-O-S-O-N, Landero, en Instagram, Facebook, plataformas digitales como Spotify, YouTube, para que escuchen nuestra música y se enteren de toda nuestra ruta de la cumbia por Estados Unidos y el mundo.
So we would love to invite everyone here to follow us in Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, YouTube. Our handle is at Jason Landero, and it's YEISONLANDERO, Jason Landero, so that you can follow us in this path of cumbia that we're doing in the U.S. and across the world. And if I can take off my hat of translator and also add a little bit of a shout out to Poder del Pueblo. So we're a collective of immigrants and cultural workers, human rights defenders. And our goal is this, to create bridges between Colombia, DC. So we also would love for you to follow us in Poder del Pueblo DC in Instagram. And any collaborations that folks want to do where artists from Colombia and artists from DC would come together to build bridges, build peace in this joyful movement, please reach out to us. And thank you so much, Muisa, for this opportunity.
Thank you very much, Isaias, for contacting us and connecting with us. And also thank you very much for Jason Landero and the band. Thank you very much.
Bueno, y desde la agrupación Jason Landero y todos nuestros integrantes, queremos darle la gracia a Muisa por venir hasta este lugar y por seguir llevando el mensaje de la cumbia a todos los oyentes.
So we want to thank you, Muisa, for coming all the way over here and basically carrying the a message of cumbia to all your listeners. So thank you so much from myself and the band.
Thank you.
You've just been listening to a portion of a conversation with Jason Landero and the band of Colombia, who joined the show to discuss African and indigenous people's influence in particular and other cultures' influence in general on Colombian music in the context of Latin American Heritage Month. The conversation also explored the collaboration and exchange of knowledge between the Colombian musicians and go-go artists of Washington, D.C. Also joining the show was Isaias Guerrero of Puerto de Pueblo, who is serving as the translator in the conversation. The full conversation will be available on Africa Now's SoundCloud page. That's Africa Now online on SoundCloud. The music in the background is Equinox by John Coltrane, and we play that remembering John Coltrane's birthday, which is September 23rd, and also commemorating fall equinox in the Northern Hemisphere and spring equinox in the Southern Hemisphere, which is on September 22nd, 2025. That's it for Africa Now for today. I'm your host, Muisa Muntali. Up next is Headline News, which is followed by Shah Anana with Zain Al-Amin, which looks at issues in Northern Africa and the Middle East, particularly spotlighting the plight of Palestinians. And that's followed by the women's collective Sophie's Parlor, which is followed by The Browder File with Tony Browder, which is followed by Sojourner Truth with Nana Gainfey, and that's followed by Combit Lakai with Eugenia Charles. Check out Africa Now on Facebook and on X, formerly Twitter. That's Africa Now Online. Also, Africa Now is archived on iTunes Podcast and on SoundCloud. Search under Africa Now Online on SoundCloud. That's Africa Now Online on SoundCloud. And thanks to Africa Now's executive producer and co-host James Pope. And thanks to our engineers Michael Nasella and Clay Chapman. Thanks to our research fellow volunteers Chanda Kozer and Fernan Gonda, and our Africa World Now Project Collective of Dr. Tasmin Siddiqui, Dr. Keisha Khan Perry, Dr. Josh Myers, and Kurt Erdeston. And thanks to the entire team here at WPFW and to you for joining us. Continue to support all the great programs on WPFW. We're going to leave you the closing song entitled When Black Becomes Beautiful Again by Jason Landero and the band. Thank you. Have a great day. Have a great week. And stay safe. Thank you.
For WPFW News in Washington and WBAI in New York, I'm Sue Goodwin. Here are some headlines. Israeli troops and tanks pushed deeper into Gaza City today as Israel's major ground offensive aimed at occupying the area enters a second day. The Israeli military repeated warnings today for residents to evacuate the city, where nearly 1 million Palestinians have been living. Israel said it had opened up an additional route for 48 hours that Palestinians could use to leave as Israel steps up efforts to force more people to flee their homes for overcrowded and unsafe areas in the south. Many Palestinians say they are unable or unwilling to move south due to the rising costs associated with the journey and fear of permanent displacement. In related news, the heads of more than 20 aid agencies working in Gaza have called on world leaders to urgently intervene in the war, following the first ever determination by a United Nations commission that Israel is perpetuating genocide in the devastated territory. With an estimated 65,000 Palestinians killed in Israeli attacks so far in Gaza, the agencies warned today that almost 1 million more people are now on the precipice of an even deadlier period in Gaza if action is not taken. The aid groups said, quote, states must use every available political, economic, and legal tool at their disposal to intervene. Rhetoric and half measures are not enough. This moment demands decisive action, close quote. Signatories to the statement include Islamic Relief Worldwide, CARE International, Save the Children International, and Doctors Without Borders. In other news, in the Caribbean, the U.S. steps up deadly military action against drug traffickers as the Venezuelan government protests. WPFW's Noah Portner has more.
When leaving for London yesterday, President Trump insisted that the U.S. destroyed three boats outbound from Venezuela, when the military has only documented two such instances. The president has been clear to label the drug traffickers as, quote, narco-terrorists, end quote, named after the deadly narcotics which have been smuggled into the country. While the military action in the Caribbean is limited to these drug traffickers, the Venezuelan government has been furious about U.S. actions. Maduro, the dictator who espouses the socialist ideas of his far more popular predecessor, Hugo Chavez, is leading the complaints. Maduro has no interest in working alongside U.S. authorities and sees the entire operation as a warmongering threat to his country.
And in more news, in Washington, D.C., the Trump administration continues to federalize the Capitol by changing laws related to crime. Here again is WPFW's Noah Portner.
Yesterday, lawmakers in the House approved a bill which would allow 14-year-olds in D.C. to be tried as adults. Many states, including Maryland and Virginia, allow for 14-year-olds to be charged as adults in very heinous crimes, and it is always appealable. But in D.C., this process will likely not be appealable. As part of his overarching plan to federalize the district, President Trump has called for multiple changes in the district's laws to fight crime. Trump has instructed law enforcement and prosecutors to be aggressive, and so far, over 50 people have faced federal charges due to the president's policies. However, 11 of these cases have already been dropped by prosecutors. Such a high dismissal rate is unusual and signals that prosecutors, mainly Trump ally Jeanine Pirro, may not have enough facts.